Hallelujah. Well, if you have the opportunity to ponder the love of God that fills you up, we talked about that on Sunday. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. Within us, we have a love for God that we have not surveyed to its depths, I don't think, but that we will continue to do as the Lord enlightens us as we seek Him about it. Another thing that I've found is that, when you seek Him, you find Him, you know. And He has really implanted in me a heart to seek about this very thing. The other day He led me into Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah chapter 9, there's a lot of things that lead up to this. You know, Jeremiah was often referred to as the weeping prophet. He was the one who looked and he saw the way that things were. And he said, this is not fun. This is not good. I'm so sorry. He spent a lot of time, you know, basically he was apologizing to the Lord for the way that the people were. And to a certain extent, you know, I mean, he felt like he was the prophet. What do we do about this, Lord? You know, I've been faithful to tell Him what You want me to tell Him, and man. Well, in verse 23, the Lord says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows Me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. Let that be the thing that we glory in. He didn't say there was anything wrong with wisdom. Can't be anything wrong with it, because He tells us to get wisdom. In fact, He tells us that a person that gets wisdom is a wise person. That it's going to do them good. There's Proverbs talk about how wisdom cries out. Man, if you just hang wisdom around your head, you know, and we know that perfect wisdom, true wisdom, comes from the Word of God. What's written, what God says. We know that God still speaks. We know that if people refuse to believe that God speaks, then how are they going to hear God? If God doesn't speak, why would we gather? If God doesn't speak, why would we pray? If God doesn't speak, it's a dull thing. And when things get dull, we lose interest. But God always spoke. It's you, okay. I thought it was me. I'm trusting, believe me, I'm praying for God to cause that meeting to go long, because He's going to text me if they get close to the end, and I'm supposed to give the benediction as well. So if that's the case, then you all will just discuss and finish this message by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I'll be back. But thing is that God tells us to get wisdom. He said, don't let the mighty man glory in his might, and yet we know that He made mighty men of valor. So there's nothing wrong with the mighty ones. All strength, all power, all everything comes from God, right? Humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of God. He'll exalt you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know? We have the power of God working in us, so might is good. And nor let a rich man glory in his riches. But yet we know there's nothing wrong with riches, because it's God who gives us power to get wealth. We know that all true riches come from God. We know that only godly riches, really, can people have peace with godly riches. Because riches don't bring peace. Riches can make life easier. But without God, they don't bring peace. And in fact, we know that they often make people miserable to the point of death. Because they think they can get peace if they just get more. They think they can get satisfaction, you know. But you just don't. Not without the kind that God gives. But God says, no, no, no. He says, let them glory in this. Let him who glories, glory in this. That they know that they understand and know me. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness. Now, exercise means, when we talk about exercise, it takes some effort. You know, people are always trying to sell something that requires no exercise to lose weight and get fit. You know, little things that'll stimulate your muscles and make them contract and flex. Now, the fact is that they do take people and they attach them to different kinds of things for therapy when they can't move themselves, and it can help. Oftentimes people get new knees put in and they got this little deal that moves the deal for them, and you know, to keep it limber. But there comes a point where it requires, well, God doesn't say that, you know, well, it's just there, run and find it. He says he exercises loving kindness. And he exercises judgment. And he exercises righteousness. He says, in these things I delight. Now, a lot of people do. They have a hard time seeing God as a gushy, loving God. That he would be just, you know, just so glad to see you. So excited to hold you. So glad you're here. And yet his Bible says, oh man, come on. But that's something that, you know, a lot of people just can't quite picture God, you know, being overbearing in love with you. But we should be able to. We should be able to picture that better than anything. We should be able to picture, because he said, if I would give my own son, if I would not withhold my own son, what other thing would I withhold from you? When you think of somebody who's wanting to lavish you with things, don't you think of somebody that's pretty tickled? No. No. How many of you at Christmas time take a gift to somebody and just smack them in the head with it? Here, have it. Suppose I said I'd get it for you, have it then. That's not how you do it, is it? Oh, no. Man, you kind of have an exciting time about it. I told Vicki the other night, we were in bed, and I said, I had ordered something for Jordan, and I said, I ordered you a present too. You did? What is it? I said, I'm not going to tell you. Well, then why did you mention it if you're not going to tell me? I don't know. It wasn't the devil that made me do it. I know that. I just felt like telling her that I got her something. He exercises loving kindness. He exercises judgment. Now, when we think about exercising judgment, the word judgment always conjures up this thing of a mad God wanting us to come before him without Christ so that he can cast us into hell. You know? And that is actually the picture a lot of times that Christians give to other people of God's taking you to hell. You know? He's mad and he can't wait for you to go to hell because you're so bad. That's why it's beneficial to be forgiven much, because then you know that, you know, you haven't been forgiven too much, I suppose, you know, if you think that you haven't really done anything wrong yourself, it's pretty easy to think, well, you deserve to go to hell. I absolutely qualified for hell. I had all the credentials necessary. And then Jesus came and wiped them all away. I really believe that the judgment that God most loves to exercise is to judge you not guilty. Because you have come to know his son and have come to believe his son. And there's nothing that thrills him more than to say, there's another one that's not guilty. There's another one that's not. Oh, let me just exercise some loving kindness on you. That's what I believe. That's what I feel is the most true thing. I received a high compliment today. I received a letter. It was forwarded to me from another brother who got the letter from this man. And this man made it very clear. This man said, I no longer pay much attention to Roger Day. Because he has such a black and white picture of the Bible. I thought, my Lord, that's a high compliment. I do. I have, this is the way I believe, and God could convince me, but He would have to do some pretty big things to convince me it's not true. And that is that God is good and the devil's bad. And the good things come from God and bad things come from the devil. I just flat believe that. I don't believe, I just will not, and I've talked to God about this. I said, God, I'm sorry, but I cannot believe that You sit around and make bad plans for me to teach me lessons. Lord, if I'm ever so stupid that it takes You making bad plans for me to learn a lesson, talk to me first, would You? But I just can't find Him doing that. But you know, a lot of the body of Christ seems to want to try to figure out why bad things happen to good people. Okay? I don't know. And I can't tell you how much I don't care. Not about that bad things happen to good people. I care about bad things happening to people. But I don't care about why. Because I think I know why. Because we live in a fallen world and the devil does bad things. But I also believe that it's very, very clear in the Word of God that Jesus took power from Satan and gave power to His people. And so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds and casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so the problem lies in us learning how to use the weapons. Now, still, no, I'm not going to try to explain why there's people that just have power and they've just got this strength and they just seem to be loving God and walking with God so totally and completely, and yet they're suffering. I don't know why. I do not know. I don't know if it's because, you know, there are some people who, you know, feel like somehow they're doing something good for God by suffering. And God bless them. They won't go to hell for that. But I just am going to refuse. If I'm suffering, I'm going to refuse to say, well, I guess I'll just have to suffer a little longer. I'm going to try out every weapon that I can to get out of it. I am going to apply the Word of God to it. I'm going to be so foolish as to believe that God has answered me when I pray. And that is offensive to some people. But it doesn't offend me whatsoever. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel better. It doesn't make me feel superior, but it makes me feel better. And if it works for me, why should I quit doing that? Does that mean I never have any pain? Absolutely not. Does it mean that I never get sick? Not too often. Does it mean that I ever stay sick? Never. That's a bummer. Okay. God exercises loving kindness, exercises judgment, and He exercises righteousness. He said, these are the things that I delight in. In these things I delight. The more that we love God, the more that we can believe that these are the things that He delights in. Because, remember, love never loses its hope because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. As we love God, not proving we love God, just loving God, then it's a lot more easy for us to say, you know something, God's exercising loving kindness for me right now. And God's loving kindness doesn't cause me pain. God's loving kindness does not abuse me. God's loving kindness is just that. It's real loving kindness. So if I don't feel like I'm experiencing loving kindness, then it must not be God. So then I need to get God in front of whatever is coming at me. I need to present myself to God as a living sacrifice. Let Him take care of the thing. Let Him handle it. This is love. It's not that we love God, but it's that He first loved us. Now, love is completed as we love Him. And we really believe. You see, we've really got to believe that God delights in exercising loving kindness. God delights in judging us righteous. God delights in judging us worthy of the rewards. If I believe that I deserved hell when I was outside, then isn't it okay for me to believe I deserve heaven now? Hasn't God done what He said He would do? Hasn't He done abundantly above and beyond what He said He would do? So, let him who glories glory in this, that they understand and that they know that I am God. And that I exercise loving kindness. I exercise judgment. I exercise righteousness. And I delight to do it. That God has good plans for you. Always be looking for those things. Amen? Now, would you allow me to go and pray? And I encourage you to encourage one another with these words as the Lord has spoken to you about, okay? I'll be back.